For all those who are joining who RSVP'd, this call is on the record and you may record, to be clear. We will also be recording this call as well. If there are any technical issues with your recordings or whatnot, feel free to reach out to me afterwards. So we will get started here in about 30 seconds and we'll pick it off from there. Alrighty, I'll go ahead and hit record and we'll get started.
Recording in progress.
All right, good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I'm sure many of you are tired after a long, but not quite as long night as many of us were hoping or were expecting. I'm Matt Fisher, Communications Director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and it's my privilege to welcome you all here for this press call today to discuss the results of last night's election with Wisconsin GOP Chairman Brian Schimming. At the end of his remarks and discussions, there will be time for a Q&A portion, and you will be able to submit questions using the Q&A feature at the bottom of their screen. Again, before we begin, this call is on the record, and you may record it. You may record it. Ignore the disclaimer button at the beginning when you guys logged on. This is on the record, and we will provide a recording to any who have any issues with recording this call. And with that, I'll hand it over to you, Chairman Schimming.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for being with us. A great night last night for President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, and frankly, for the Wisconsin Republican Party. We're at a point now after two very, very long years where we became one of at least two and maybe three bricks in the supposed Midwestern blue wall. And Wisconsin led the way on that. As many of you know, Wisconsin is probably the most competitive of the seven swing states, and we won a great victory last night for President Trump and Vice President-elect Vance. It was done a couple of ways: a great volunteer network across the state, across our 72 counties, worked with coalition groups, terrific staff that we have at the state party, fantastic field staff that we have, an excellent election integrity operation. It's really been the culmination of 2 years of very, very hard work. As I told all of you last year, we were going to put together the best organization possible as we came into this presidential election in Wisconsin, knowing full well that Wisconsin was going to be competitive. There's no doubt about it. And but we achieved a lot of our goals. We were the first state in the country to adopt the early vote initiative put forth by the RNC, and I think that paid off last night. I hate to think of where we've been had we not taken the early vote issue seriously. It's something I championed personally, literally from the first hour. I was chairman of the state party. So that was important, building out a field organization of volunteers and staff that was really just enormously efficient and widespread. I mean, we had thousands and thousands of volunteers statewide who stepped up to help the president in the various counties of the ticket in the various counties, but also on election integrity issues. We had one of the best election integrity units in the whole country. With multiple paid staff, of course, a number of volunteers, thousands of volunteers there. So I think one of the things that we, you know, may have learned from last night is, celebrity visits don't win elections. I have news for the other side. Celebrity visits don't win elections. Out-of-state money doesn't always win elections. They've been spending months on the other side bragging about their wonderful state organization and getting all this outside money poured in here. They lost last night. In fact, Wisconsin is the state that put Donald Trump over 270 electoral votes last night. So for all of their braggadocious talk about their vaunted field operation, the truth of the matter is they lost last night. Not only did they lose, and while they were shifting, we reelected all of our Republican members of Congress and had a very, very close race for U.S. Senate. That's not finally declared yet, but it's obviously a very, very close race. And the Republicans still control the Wisconsin State Senate and the Wisconsin State Assembly, going into a cycle where we'll have a gubernatorial election next. There'll be enormous focus on the gubernatorial election. and the AG's election in 2 years. So I feel great about last night, as do Republicans from around the country. I have been deluged with messages from other states around the country who were watching. Everyone was watching what was going on in Wisconsin last night. So we had a lot of emphasis on early vote. We had a lot of emphasis on field organization, enormous emphasis on election integrity. I reopened our north side office in Milwaukee, in the African-American neighborhood on the north side of Milwaukee. We opened our Hispanic office and staffed it, both offices, but staffed the Hispanic neighborhood office down on the south side. Those are efforts that will continue. As I look at going forward, we're heading into a cycle where we have obviously a critical Supreme Court race in April that will decide to control the court between liberals and conservatives. And I was thinking about that already on the stage last night. I'm not spending my time thinking about the inaugural or about any of that. Right now, I'm thinking forward, literally from the first minute forward, on the Supreme Court race in April. And of course, the partisan races, gubernatorial race, AGs, legislative races 2 years from now. I've at the risk of sounding whatever, this ain't my first rodeo. And I had hoped, as I came into this job as state chairman, that I'd bring two things: a sense of experience that I've had from being around this for decades, and also putting the right team together at the state party to lead us forward. And we did that. And I'm proud of our effort. I'm proud of my staff. I'm proud of all our volunteers, thousands and thousands of volunteers across the state. There were a lot of people who didn't think we could do this. As I mentioned before, we are statistically the most competitive of the seven swing states. And that blue brick and that blue wall is now red in Wisconsin. And so I'm just pleased that we're where we are right now. And I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Chairman Schimming. We'll now open up the floor for questions. We'll give you all some time to submit them, and then we'll begin here in a few seconds. You can submit them in the Q&A portion at the bottom of the chat. You submit them there and I will read them off to the chairman. All right, our first question comes from Jack Kelly. First question is, quote, Republicans will return in January with much narrower majorities in both the Assembly and State Senate. What do you make of the legislative results, and how do you think it'll impact the upcoming legislative session?
Hard to say. I'll leave that for legislators to decide and the legislative leadership to decide. But the majority leadership in the legislature is Republican in both houses. So I've been through three reapportionments now where you had, fairly dramatic map changes. But the Democrats spent the last couple of weeks bragging about how they might be able to take over the state assembly, and they didn't. And frankly, I don't think now that you have a new set of incumbent legislators and you have the map set, that is going to be burden for the Democrats, because they spent weeks and months talking up trying to take over at least the assembly anyway, and they didn't frankly come close to doing it, including losing some of the key races, the key close races. So again, more talk from the other side, but majorities matter in the assembly and the state senate. I've worked in both of those houses, and I've worked for three different Republican governors. Majorities matter in the legislature, and the Democrats don't have either of them. So for all the noisemaking they have, and we picked up some seats here and there, the truth of the matter is they had their one moment when they had a huge turnout to take over this year, and they failed in both houses.
Well, now move on to our next topic. There are a couple questions here concerning the U.S. Senate race here. There were two, one from Emily Fannin of CBS 58 and from Brooklyn Andres, concerning the recount question here. According to the AP, the Wisconsin Senate race is close enough for a recount. Do you think Eric Hovde will ask for one? Emily asked, would you like to see a recount in the U.S. Senate race? Eric Hovde has yet to declare defeat.
Yeah, part of my experience has been working statewide recounts, including for President Trump 4 years ago for David Prosser on his last successful re-election to the Supreme Court several years back. We'll spend some time with the Hovde campaign and with our staff, our election integrity staff and others, kind of looking at that issue and see it is a very, very close race. There's no doubt about that. And so we'll take a look at that issue, but I just don't have anything definitive to say now. I think we'll get a better idea in the next few days and also when the canvass is done. Generally, you kind of wait for the canvass and see what the actual result is based on the reporting wards across the state. So we're going to gather some information before I think any decisions are made, and obviously be talking to Eric Hovde.
Awesome. Another two question, one topic thing. Brian Karen of Fox 11 and Richard Creamer have also raised the question of third-party candidates in the Senate race. Richard's question is, Eric Hovde has mentioned Democrats putting a plant in the Senate race. What do you make of that claim regarding Leaguer? And furthermore, Brian Karen also asked, the Hovde campaign is accusing Democrats of siphoning votes with fraudulent candidates. What course of actions do Republicans have moving forward in that election?
I think really the biggest thing you can do is to make very, very clear who the Republican candidate is, and for candidates to kind of call out these situations. I mean, I think about 53,000 votes were pulled off either for what amounted to a fake candidate under a fake party name, from what I can see, and then another candidate as well. So you had people voting for Donald Trump and people voting, you know, for some of those candidates as well. And I agree with Eric Hovde. I think that that hurt him. You know, I would note that in the case of Robert F. Kennedy, in the case of the presidential race, Robert F. Kennedy came and made it very, very clear multiple times when he visited Wisconsin, including last week in Milwaukee and up in Rice Lake, that people should not vote for him. They should vote for President Trump, that he had endorsed President Trump. And I think in this case, you had some minor party candidates or candidates with their own self-interest that ran in that race. And so as a result, President Trump has one less vote that he can have in his corner in the U.S. Senate. So if somebody thinks the conservative movement is going forward because we have one less Senate seat, they're sadly mistaken.
Our next question comes from Zach Schultz. Political analysts are saying there was a uniform shift to the right across the nation that helped sweep Trump to victory. Does that broad brush approach diminish the work your team did on the ground to win Wisconsin?
No, I don't think so at all. Frankly, our team in Wisconsin was so good. We didn't spend our time trying to go, wow, it sure seems a little more conservative around the country. We didn't spend any time on that topic. We spent our time in the grassroots, pounding on doors, talking to people. I've emphasized not only early vote, but also actually going out and talking to voters at their doors and talking to them about our record versus the Democrats' record. I think that's what made the difference. If there was some benefit from something going on nationally, as state chairman, I'm more than happy to accept whatever benefit that we got out of that. But really, this got done because volunteers and staff across this state went out and talked to over 1.5 million voters, actually over 2 million voters, and got it done. I think the Democrats, remember a year ago, all this, you know, all these navel gazing stories about the Republicans and, oh, gee, how are they going to do under Donald Trump again now that he's come back? I think that people ought to be asking themselves questions about where they're heading. Are the state Democratic Party and the national Democrats? They're the ones with the crisis right now. I'm going to remind everybody on this call, when we finished our national convention in July here in Milwaukee, within 24 hours, they had pushed Joe Biden out of the presidency, not just the nominee, but essentially out as president of the United States, and installed a nominee on their side who had never received a vote anywhere in any race for president in any state or in any caucus. So if somebody needs to do some self-examination about where their party is heading and where their movement is heading, it's the Democratic Party, because they have some serious problems right now. And to your point, the breadth of President Trump's victory around the country, we earned it here in Wisconsin. But if I was the Democrats in some of the other states, and including Wisconsin, they better do some thinking about where they, because they have lost working people in this country. And I think as we do further examination of the election results from all over the state, you will see that, and you'll see it overwhelmingly. The Democratic Party in this country is in a lot of trouble. It started last night.
Our next question comes from Mitchell Schmidt. Thanks for the time. Can you talk a bit about what you saw on a county-by-county basis? Where did Trump and Republicans overperform? Dane County turnout seemed lower than in 2020. Any takeaways there?
Yeah, that's we'll spend the next couple of days looking at county by county results. I will say though that I thought the victory, President Trump's victory in Wisconsin last night was a broader victory in terms of clear across the state. You know, you don't just see that in the color maps, but you see it in some of the results in various communities. We're going to spend some time with that, not only because we want to just look at what just happened, but frankly, we want to plot the course forward. We have a lot of races coming up in the next 2 years. So that's, we're going to spend time. You know, I would remind people too, in 2022, obviously we ended up with a Democrat governor, but that was after a really nasty Republican primary. The AG's race, we had a very tough Republican primary. The Democrats did in the Supreme Court race that following April what they did last night to Eric Hovde, and they essentially supported a third party candidate who was posing as some kind of Republican. So I would encourage people on this call to look at that issue about how the Democrats to win have to come in and pose as something they're not in some of these races. They put $2.5 million into the Supreme Court race going after a conservative candidate and promoting another one. And that's not a reflection on the individual candidates in that race. But I think some of the folks on this call ought to spend some time looking at that issue, because to win in Wisconsin, they seem to be more interested in trying to distract voters into something that's not, rather than talk to voters about something that is.
Our next question comes from Aaron McGrory, and this touches on something you were mentioning earlier, Brian, with the upcoming year. The question is, what is the Wisconsin Republican Party's plan for the Supreme Court election in April, given the turnout and spending from Democrats in the last election that shifted the majority on the bench?
So this is going to be this, of course, this seat that's up is Ann Walsh, Justice Bradley's seat, Ann Walsh Bradley's seat, a liberal. It is a seat that should a conservative happen to win that seat, it'll flip control of the court to a more conservative viewpoint, no doubt about it. I can tell you, as in past Supreme Court races, as our, I know our people, I hear it all the time, as almost everybody on this call knows, I'm on the road a fair bit, and I'm talking to local Republicans and local groups all the time. And I think there's enormous interest in making sure the Supreme Court doesn't stay liberal for effectively the next 3 years. So I know for, and I know Judge Schimmel and other folks may be looking at the court race, but we are in an excellent position right now as the state Republican Party to assist a candidate for Supreme Court and help them win. You know, we have updated lists and data, and our local organizations, as you can imagine, are pretty excited today about President Trump's win last night. So I know that I'll be having some of those discussions as well. But among the other things I'll be focused on, we'll be looking at that Supreme Court race, but also local races in the spring. We put about $500,000 in last year in our fourth year of our local government initiative into helping local candidates win, and did so. We had several significant victories across the state. So between the Supreme Court race, local races as well, and getting ready for the governor's race and the AG's race in 2024, where the Democrats are going to have to decide whether they're going to be stuck with Tony Evers again and Josh Kyle. I'll be interested. They have a lot of introspection to do on the other side. And I have a lot of available candidates for a lot of offices. So we're definitely pretty assertive around here, and that's the way we're going to stay.
We'll get to our final two questions here. This one coming from Richard Kramer. Should the legislature reconsider and pass the Monday count bill or something akin to it, or something like that, excuse me?
Yeah, that's up to the legislature to decide. I know there were a number of Republicans who had some concerns about it, but also a number of Republicans who thought, you know, there might be some use to that. There was nothing that I saw last night that made me go, oh, we have to have the Monday count bill to help these elections run more efficiently. Now, that's something we'll take a look at, and I think legislators will listen to from around the state, but there was nothing particular in what I saw last night that would make me say to the legislature, look, you got to get moving on this thing.
Awesome. And our final question will come from Brooklyn Andres. You mentioned many things that contributed to the Republican Party win last night, but would you say the early vote is the biggest reason you were so successful?
Well, it certainly was a major issue, at least in my mind. It's why I championed the thing since the first day I was chairman. And that was, as I often say, look, Republicans can't keep going into Election Day 100 or 200,000 votes down and expect to make it up in 13 hours. I think, frankly, the party needed to cross that bridge and deal with the reality of early vote and the importance of early vote in Wisconsin. And we did that. It was interesting. I was saying to someone yesterday, you know, the first 6 months or so when I was on the road, talking about this to Republican groups across the state, it took a little doing, to be honest, to get that discussion and talking openly about it. But then we were on to a full-on campaign in getting people to early vote. Those are issues that we'll be examining as we go forward here. But I think was an important factor in that win last night, because the more Republicans who voted early in the presidential race, the more resources it freed up for us to focus on voters who could be persuaded or independent voters or folks who haven't voted before. And at least anecdotally, from what I've seen from last night, that ended up being a very wise decision on our part. And it allowed us to get to independent voters, others who hadn't voted before. So I think it was a factor, certainly a key factor in the win by President Trump in Wisconsin last night. So I'm excited that the bet that we kind of made 2 years ago paid off. And it paid off, frankly, on a trip to the Electoral College.
All righty. That should conclude today's Q&A and today's press call. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Again, if you have any issues with your recording of today's call, feel free to reach out to me at my email. That's M as in Matthew, mfisher@wisgop.org. Or you can reach the name, email number should be in the media advisory. So feel free to reach out. And thank you again for everyone for joining us. I hope you all can catch up on some sleep tonight or over the course of the next few days, and have a good rest of your day. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Recording stopped.